This is the Real Talk University podcast, where your hosts, Andre and Christian, explore success stories outside of the classroom.
What is up, Real Talk fam? Welcome back to a brand new episode of the Real Talk University podcast. I'm here with my host, Christian Bonnier.
What's going on?
And we're happy to bring to you guys a new interview episode. I think this is our sixth interview of season two. And we have the privilege of sitting down with Chris Gronkowski. So yes, this is Rob Gronkowski's brother. This guy is much cooler than Rob, much more successful as an entrepreneur. No, we're just saying that because we had the chance to interview him. It was just a cool opportunity. So the backstory here is that Christian and I had the privilege of attending a Syracuse basketball game earlier this year where Chris and his brothers were also invited to the game. So we had a chance to connect with him there. We finally scheduled a podcast interview with him and had the opportunity to sit down for half an hour and talk about his entrepreneurial journey with Ice Shaker, which you'll hear more about in the interview. So I'm going to hand it off to Christian. We're going to give our three main takeaways from this episode.
Yeah, what's going on, guys? So first, Chris really emphasized how keeping the business and the family is important because when he was still in the NFL, still playing football, him and his wife actually started up a laser engraving service for bottles and things like that. So obviously he started out with his wife, really close with her, and they took off with that. And now Ice Shaker, all of him and his four brothers are involved with it. It's just a really good experience for him. He was able to go on Shark Tank with all his brothers and land a deal with Mark Cuban. So keeping it in the family, just make sure that everyone's held accountable and you have really good chemistry to grow the business because obviously you're not closer with anyone other than your family, hopefully. So that's what's worked for him.
Yep. And the second takeaway here was lessons that Chris learned while having a playing career in the NFL translated to what he does as an entrepreneur and running a business today. So if you're an athlete, whether it be professional or not, whether it be football or a different sport, such things as responsibility, communication, teamwork, respect. These are all essential qualities of being a successful entrepreneur and an athlete. So Chris obviously was immersed in these values for years in high school and college and in the NFL. And he used them to grow his business and explode it to a successful business that you'll hear about more of in the interview. So yeah, definitely if you're an athlete, you're on the right path to becoming a successful entrepreneur.
Yep, and then the last one that we found is that if you want to get things done, get up earlier because Chris has two kids, so obviously he has a busy day trying to get them ready for school and take them to and from school. So he actually gets up at 4 a.m. to get his workouts in every day, got to stay ripped. He still looks great after his pro career, so he finds a way to work out just by waking up earlier, guys. So I feel like a lot of people will complain that they don't have enough time, but then they're not willing to wake up 2 hours earlier and get stuff done before everyone else wakes up. So if you really don't have time in the day, set your alarm 2 hours earlier, get up, and just get shit done. That's really the only way. So,
sweet. All right, so we're going to let you guys enjoy this episode real quick. And as always, be sure to support us on Instagram at Real Talk Uni Podcast, Twitter at Real Talk Uni, and check out our new website that we just decked out at realtalkuni.com. We're going to be putting up blog posts, social media posts, and a whole bunch of different stuff on there. So be sure to check it out. And as always, guys, we really appreciate your support and want to do our best to continue to serve you guys. So enjoy this episode. How's it going, Real Talk fam? I just wanted to jump in here real quick before we start this new episode of Real Talk University with an offer that Christian and I have put together for you guys. Basically, as a thank you for listening and tuning in to all of our episodes and supporting us along the way so far. So what we put together is the Podcast Blueprint ebook, which you'll have access to for free. Absolutely free. This is a downloadable PDF containing all the information, actionable steps, tips, resources, everything you need to launch your very own successful podcast in 30 days or less, exactly how Christian and I have done so. After reading our ebook, you'll be able to launch your own podcast today, book your dream guest for your interviews, and get ads and sponsors immediately. To claim your free copy today, visit the link at bit.ly/RTU ebook. That's B-I-T dot, that's a full stop, L-Y slash RTU ebook, E-B-O-O-K. Get your free copy today before this offer expires.
That's fine. We'll just hop right into it. Don't want to waste your time. So I'm Christian. I'm here with Andre next to me. We are the Real Talk University podcast. We interview high-level entrepreneurs such as yourself who have monetized their passions. And for you with your ice shaker bottle, we know that you're crushing it with that. So we figured you'd be perfect to hop on for an interview.
I like it, man. I like it.
Sweet. So if you could just introduce yourself and what you do to the people that might not know who you are.
What's up, everyone? My name is Chris Gronkowski, a former NFL player turned entrepreneur, now the CEO of Ice Shaker, an insulated kitchen-grade stainless steel bottle, as seen on Shark Tank, invested in by Mark Cuban. Recently invested in by my brother, Rob Gronkowski, as well. So product about 3 years old now, and really went from one bottle side gig to 150 different SKUs at this point.
You know, that's sweet. Yeah, you're crushing it with that bottle, man. Like, it's all over now. So props to you on that. I just want to ask, like, how you transitioned from, you know, a career in the NFL to entrepreneurship?
Man, for me, I kind of got lucky. It isn't a story about a bottle. It's actually a story about something my wife started. When I was playing, she was sick of getting a new job every year. I went to four teams in four different years. And during that time, she was finding a new job every time. She had an interview every year for a new position. And after the third year, she was just sick of it. So she started hand painting wine glasses, and it actually ended up turning into this big personalization company called Everything Decorated. It's a company we still have. It's still growing today. It's about 7 years old now at this point. But really, when I came out, I started helping her. I saw a great opportunity there. We took a lot of my NFL money, invested it into commercial grade laser engravers, and diamond tips and other things like that. And we started into the personalization market. Did a lot of wedding stuff, but really any event. And I was actually we were making more money doing that than I was playing in the NFL after 1 year. So did really well, grew that, and then saw the opportunity for Ice Shaker come along. And it really stemmed from the engraving business. We were doing a ton of cups, a ton of Yeti cups actually at the time. And people were coming in, flooding in, we were buying cases at a time and selling them all in one day. And I started using the cup, really liked it, and really saw an opportunity to take that cup and make it universal, make it a cup that you can use all day, every day for everything you did, especially in the gym market. And that's really where the idea for the Ice Shaker came about.
That's sweet. So did you have like any experience with entrepreneurship before that, or did you really just learn from your wife?
Yes and no. So my dad was an entrepreneur himself. He's been in the fitness industry now for over 30 years. Fourth largest distributor of fitness equipment now at this point. I grew up delivering for him, you know, packing the trucks, delivering the equipment. I watched him grow this company really from the ground up, but never really worked in it myself besides, you know, delivering and driving trucks. So it was in our blood, but no, I really had no experience. Everything was all about just figuring it out. I mean, I had no clue how to build a website. You know, we built our website out, and I've built every website out since then. You know, no idea how to sell, no idea how to source product, no idea how to customize a product or run a laser engraver, stuff like Photoshop. You know, I'll just learn on YouTube, really. Just go online, type it in. If I wanted to crop a background out, you know, I had no clue how to do it. Went on YouTube and figured it out.
Yeah, that's huge. I feel like with entrepreneurship, especially, people are always just trying to learn. And while that's great, like, you have to eventually take action, even if it's not perfect, like just moving along and starting the process, it's what's going to help you find success in the long run anyways. So
a lot of just grinding and figuring things out is what it comes down to.
Exactly. So I just want to go back to your early days. Like, what was it like growing up with all your brothers in the house? Obviously, you guys are all big guys. So like growing up with them and then all you guys going pro and different sports and things like that.
Man, growing up was mayhem, and I'm getting some payback now. I have two boys, and I have no idea how my parents had five. Really came down to having zero furniture, really nothing in our house that could be used as a weapon, because we destroyed everything. Yeah. And we used it as weapons. So we had a couch and a chair, and that was it. No end tables, no coffee tables, none of that, because, you know, we would throw each other through it. So it was crazy, though. It brought competition. We weren't allowed to stay in the house. We weren't allowed to play video games or watch TV. it was get outside, get that energy out, play sports, play against each other, whatever you had to do. You weren't sitting inside. My parents also were big about school, so we had to do our schoolwork before we went to practice. Our parents just drilled it into us that you're going to do your work, you're going to get good grades, or you're not going to play sports. So even though we were always playing sports and doing all that, schoolwork still did come first before that.
Do you think that attributed, like, all you guys playing together and being disciplined with schoolwork, do you think that attributed to you all having, like, successful pro careers?
I think it's huge. A lot of people ask me all the time, like, hey, how'd you make it? There's so much talent. And really, as a fullback, you know, there's not even a fullback on every team at this point. So to be a starting fullback for 3 years, you know, you're really 26 guys maybe in the whole world that are doing it at the time. But yeah, I think it definitely contributed to it, because a lot of it wasn't the most talented. You know, we were really well disciplined, but you also had to be smart and you had to know how to pick up a playbook. And that's all stuff that you had to be disciplined in. It's not just about being the best player. You still have to make it through college. It's not like basketball where, you know, you can just leave it and go straight to the pros. You have to go through at least 3 years of college, which a lot of guys don't make it through. You have to stay out of trouble. You have to learn the books. And then you also have to learn a playbook. And a playbook's a lot harder in the NFL than it is in college. I mean, a lot of college teams, they just tell you where to go, where they hold up a big board, and the board pretty much tells you what to do. You know, it's not like that anymore. Now you have to actually know schemes. You have to know defenses. So you have to actually be smart and know what you're doing, and also be able to pick up a lot of audibles and stuff like that as well. You go to the NFL and they're calling two plays in the huddle now and audibling out of one. Whereas in college, you know, they might hold up a sign and you just read the sign and you know the symbol for the week. So definitely a whole different mentality there. But yeah, growing up and being disciplined and having to learn the books definitely helps you get to that next level for so many reasons. You know, not just the fact that you're disciplined, but you need to learn it. You need to know how to learn fast as well.
Yeah, I could see like those qualities like contributing to your success like as an entrepreneur, because like things with like audibles, like things changing on a day-to-day basis with entrepreneurship, like things not going as expected, like those are all valuable skills to have learned earlier in your life to now apply to what you do with Ice Shaker.
Yeah, there's, with being an entrepreneur, you're going to do things that you never thought you'd do. I mean, really every single task that you could think of, you're going to end up doing at some point. You know, you don't think that you're going to learn how to, you know, an API or connect to, you know, a shipping system or build out a shipping platform, anything like that. Even down to, you know, you're ordering just office supplies and toilet paper, stuff like that. And you're like, man, you know, you become everything. You're the janitor at some points. I mean, you're making high-end decisions, but every single aspect at some point as an entrepreneur, if you build it from the ground up, you know, you're doing every single job at some point throughout it if you want to be successful, and if you're grinding and really don't have it, you're bootstrapping it yourself. So that's, you have to learn quick.
Yeah, no doubt. And I just want to go back quickly to your career in the NFL before we go forward with more on your entrepreneurship journey. Like, what were some of your favorite memories that you had as a player in the league?
Oh, man, definitely playing against my brother. That was a good one. Still to this day, every time I ran by the bench, he'd yell out something like, oh, 44 sucks or whatever it was. And it was just great because, I mean, it was one of those games that you're so pumped up for, you're going all out, you know, we never actually went against each other, but we still wanted to make an impression on each other's team. So that was a lot of fun. And the guy got to play in New England against him. And it was a great game as well. Definitely one of the more memorable moments.
That's amazing. Andre here is a huge Broncos fan. You were on the Broncos when Peyton Manning was there, correct?
Yes, sir.
What was it like learning from a guy like that, like one of the best and smartest QBs to ever play? Like, obviously, his mind is one of a kind.
It was impressive, and everything people say about him is true. He really is. He's a coach on the field, and he demands perfection. So if you're not on the same page, if you're not ready, you know, he's throwing you off the field himself. But at the same time, he's a good guy. He's funny. The commercials about him, like that is his personality. He can get on you and he can have fun, but he's serious at the same time. So just a great person to have around, because, you know, he can really get on you, but in a funny way. But at the same time, you get his point and you better get it done. So definitely a winning atmosphere with him around.
Absolutely, absolutely. I just want to shift into the ice shaker again. Like, obviously going on Shark Tank was a huge thing for you, and for you to be able to get a deal was massive. So what was it like leading up to Shark Tank, and then how were you able to stay calm, like actually on the floor pitching your product?
Yeah, it was all about preparation. Leading up to it was, you know, I'm going to watch every single episode I possibly can. I'm going to write down every single question that's ever been asked. I was lucky because it was season 9 for me. So 8 seasons before me, I really got to dig down deep and see exactly what has been asked in the past. And then, man, let me switch back here. I just had a call come in. Did I lose you guys?
No, we still got your audio.
Okay. Someone's blowing me up. But preparing for it was huge. And with that, it came the confidence with getting on stage. So when you get out there and you're actually ready for the moment, you're not nervous anymore. And really, I prepared so much. I had really everyone I could think of ask me questions, and I went back and forth. And I pretty much had every question memorized at that point. So when I got out there, it was like I was talking to my friends at that point. I'd watched every episode. I actually felt like I was friends with Mark and Mr. Wonderful. I mean, the whole crew. Really, I felt like I knew everything about them.
That's sweet. And when did you decide to, like, bring your brothers in on the pitch? Because I think that, like, was icing on the cake. Like, it made it, like, entertaining, but also, like, obviously the pitch was perfected and there was great reason to invest.
Man, that was kind of the game plan from the beginning. Absolutely had to bring them on. I knew that bringing them on would bring, you know, a lot of attention and also take a lot of the tension out of the room. And I think that's exactly what happened. And I think it ended up being a little bit easier for us because of it. The second they came in, we all, you know, we had that big chest bump and we started playing some Flip Cup. It was kind of like the whole atmosphere completely changed at that point. And I think it got a little bit easier for me, but made everyone more comfortable. And it was a huge play. I'm still thankful that they were able to come on the show with me.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I watched that episode. It was a really cool pitch. You just crushed it. So I just want to ask, like, what has it been like since you've guys teamed up with Mark? Like, what has it been like taking on outside investment? Like, has it, you know, put more pressure on you guys to hit certain goals, or has it really just allowed you to do more of what you've already done?
No, it's been awesome. Really, everyone thinks you go on Shark Tank and, you know, you become an overnight success and everything's so easy and the sharks just take over, but really not the case at all. What ends up happening is, you know, you get 10 times the amount of sales overnight or more, you know, maybe even 50 times, but you also have 50 times more problems occur overnight. I mean, at the time when we aired, there's 2 people in the whole company. So I really had to figure out quick what to do, bring more people in, how to get it done. And that really, it all falls on us. It fell on me. It had nothing, you know, Mark was there for advice and help, and he has a whole team built out to help us out, which, you know, we rely on a lot, and it's been awesome. But at the end of the day, it's all on me. It's still on the entrepreneur. It's still my company, and I'm the one that's doing all the work.
Absolutely. Where do you see the company going in the future? Do you want to keep expanding to new products, just keep the personalization up, or what do you think you're going to lead the company in, like, direction-wise?
Man, we've grown so big so fast with so many bottles. We're really trying to focus more on, you know, first building the brand, giving people back, you know, value, advice. Really want to showcase the fact that, you know, we're a healthy living brand. We want to give people free workouts. We want to give them free meals. You know, we want to show them how to live a more active and healthy lifestyle. With the products, we're really trying to gear it down to our core. You know, what sells the best, what really works for us. And then from there, it's more of just kind of like limited editions coming in and out. We just released a new lid that's geared more towards like coffee smoothie to really make our bottles just really an all-in-one bottle. So you don't need any other bottle besides ours. If you're going to the gym, it works perfect for that. If you're trying to use it around the house, you can use that. You know, it has a straw hold now, perfect for coffee, all that, all in one. I was trying to find that that ultimate bottle for anyone living an active and healthy lifestyle. Bottles wise, you know, we've launched so many so fast that we're going to kind of calm it down a little bit on that end and really just go back to the core.
Yeah, no doubt. I followed you on Instagram for a while, and I've noticed that, like, the variation and the quality of your bottles are awesome. So I'm assuming that, like, the idea for the bottle is like stems from a passion for fitness. And I've noticed that like on your Instagram, you post a lot of extra reps videos and things like that. So how have you been able to stay fit even after like a pro career?
Man, that's waking up at 4 a.m. is what it usually comes down to. After that, I mean, two kids and a business, actually, you know, we have multiple businesses now at this point. Really comes down to time management. And for me, if I want to get that workout in, it's going to have to be before work. And so I wake up early, work out, usually play basketball as well in the morning, and then I get my day started. But, you know, as I work out, I like to also plan out my day. So it's not just, hey, go there and mindlessly, you know, lift some weights. I'm actually most of the time planning, thinking about what I'm going to do that day, almost, you know, game planning the entire day out while I get my lift in. And that's really the only way I can. I have to really optimize my schedule as much as I can at this point, especially with the kids.
Yeah, that's sweet. It's a big commitment. Like, you have family, you have a full-time business you're running, and you also got to get time for a workout. So definitely waking up early has to help. I just wanted to ask just a question I like to ask entrepreneurs is, like, have you had any like memorable failures that you could kind of pinpoint that led to lessons learned that you apply now on a daily basis with Ice Shaker?
Man, there's too many lessons. It's so many failures that you know, and things you're going to learn along the way. If I could go back to before we aired on Shark Tank, I wish I could, because there's so many things that I wish that I knew that I had no clue about. But for me, the biggest failure, I mean, I think that just from the get-go was really just having a plan, like a whole marketing plan, and starting early, launching a product. I had no clue what I was doing. I had no customer base. I had no reviews. I really had nothing. And I thought that this product was just going to sell. Huge mistake, absolutely huge mistake. Was so excited to get the product. When I finally did, I finally got it in hand, I had no clue what to do. You know, a couple social media posts and thought I could sell it because I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. But, you know, without a brand or customer base or some kind of trust from the customers, you're not going to sell anything no matter how great it is. So that was a huge mistake that I learned real quick. Had to start going out there doing shows, you know, doing everything I could to put the product in front of people just to get in their hands so that I could get those reviews or those testimonials that I needed so that I could show other people that, hey, you know, this is the real deal. So really have a game plan. No matter what the product is, how great it is, you know, start building early, really getting that noise out there, that attention. And also, you can't, you know, I had a big following, or I wouldn't say huge, but I did have a following from playing in the NFL. And I thought that I could just go and throw some stuff up there and people would buy it. That was a huge mistake. I really never interacted with people through my social before. Really just had the following because I was a player and that was it. So really learn that you have to give back and give people value for them to even trust you. You know, I can't just post once a week about a product and expect it to actually sell. You really have to engage back and actually build up trust with your following before they're ever going to buy anything from you.
Definitely. I think there's a lot of value in that whole answer, just about having more than a product and actually building like a brand and a business. So I just want to briefly ask you about what made you go into podcasting? Because I noticed you started your own podcast, and how has like social media and the podcast and all that kind of stuff helped to grow your business and your personal brand?
Yeah, the Gronked Up podcast. It came to the point where I think it was time. For me, it was all about giving people value back. I was getting asked so many questions from everything from sports to business, entrepreneurship. And at that point, it's hard to answer every single person. I wrote full blog posts, you know, 7 day shreds. And it came to the point where I was writing down every single meal I ate, what time I woke up, what time I ate the meals, how many calories were in it. And I realized that it really helped people. And I had people come back to me months later and say, hey, man, look at my progress. This is all from your blog post. You know, your 7 day shred. I've been doing it for 3 months now and I lost all this weight. I look amazing. So really from that, it was, hey, how can we affect the most people possible in the most efficient way? And that's really where the podcast came from. So the idea is just to, spread value, give people and let them learn from all the mistakes that I already had on my way through multiple businesses, not just Ice Shaker, but, you know, also everything decorated and And I also had some smaller ones as well that we talk about on the podcast. And then, you know, of course, Ice Shaker and all the stuff we've been through. So really was looking for the most efficient way to give the most value. And that was the best way we could do it, was through a podcast.
Absolutely. I feel like for us, starting the podcast was great, but like the responses we've gotten from people, even if it's like one person a week or anything like that, just hearing someone take value away from what we do is what makes us want to do it. Like, we've been doing this for almost a year. We haven't gotten paid yet. We're just still trying to build our brand up, but just like hearing what people take out of our episodes are what keep us going. So I definitely agree with that.
Yeah. And it could be something so small that completely changes everything. And I was actually, we recorded a podcast today and I was talking about that as just a social media, an ad tip. It was as simple as, hey, tell a story, you know, don't push a product. And just comparing notes with another company that their only ads that they wrote were about how the business started and that was it and why they started it. And just something so small that you might be able to give someone that you don't even realize how much it actually impacts them and brings them value. It's huge. It's absolutely huge. And that's exactly why you're doing it and exactly why I started the podcast as well.
Absolutely. All right. So we're just going to move into our lightning round. It's basically a few quick questions of how we wrap up an episode before we get you out of here. If you're ready to go.
I'm ready.
All right. So first, if you could have dinner with any three people, dead or alive, who would they be and why?
Oh, man. I always go with The Rock as my number one, man. So, yeah, man, he's a beast. I absolutely love seeing his transition. Obviously a football player as well. So if I could sit down with The Rock, that would be my number one. Man, that's usually where I stop at, though. I usually don't get asked for three. Number two, man, I would do someone like an actor. Man, I don't know. What, two and three? We gotta stick with one, with The Rock only. That's who I'm having dinner with. We don't need other chumps there.
That's awesome. Nah, that's a great answer. He's awesome. He's like, his story is inspirational and just everything he's done. And he's just a beast. Like, he's just an absolute tank. So
I like it. What we got now? What's the next question?
Next question is, this is more like towards the niche of the podcast of being like business and entrepreneurship, is if you were in high school, or sorry, college, like around the age of 19 to 20, what type of business would you go about starting? Like, what kind of hustle would you pick up to make an extra buck?
Man, when I was in college, I was playing poker online. That was my side hustle at the time. That's actually where I had all my my spending money. It all came from online poker. But always I was always grinding, man. One of actually another subject that I talk about on the podcast as well is I had this aquarium divider company, and it was weird, man. But my wife, she worked at PetSmart when she was younger, and we had fish, and they used to breed like crazy. So I used to actually sell these exotic fish, and they sold for big money, man, like 30 bucks a pop. And people would make fun of me, but I was making bank off them. So I was selling exotic fish and aquarium dividers in college as well. So that's what I have to go with, man, because that's what I was actually doing.
You had it made, and I don't think anyone can knock you if you're making money off of selling fish, like whatever works. But I also
it was crazy, man.
Yeah, poker's a ton of fun also, even if you don't make a ton of money. It's still a lot of fun to just play. But last one here. What do you know now that you wish you knew when you were 19?
Oh, man, when I was 19. Man, that's a tough call. I wish I knew that I was going to be in entrepreneurship space and that I didn't have to take accounting as my major, because that sucked.
That's so relatable. Oh, man.
But, no, really, when people go to school, it's hard to figure out what you want to do when you're older. I think one of the biggest mistakes people make is they go to school and they pay a ton of money for a major that they really don't know if they want to do, and then they don't end up actually doing it. For me, I think it's more important to just get out there and do it, man, to do it in the real space, in the real world, and actually learn from that. And a degree really doesn't matter that much. So for me, it's, hey, if you can go to a community college and pay a lot less and still get your degree and be, you know, as they say, qualified for the job, you know, do that all day. I mean, You don't need to come out of college with 80 grand in debt, because really when you learn it on the job for the most part. And if you're a good learner and you're a hard worker, that's all you really need.
No, you're completely right. Like Andre and I, we both go to a state school. We don't pay that much money. We're just here to make connections and get a degree. So it's not hurting our pockets too much. We're building a huge network and we really enjoy it. So thank you for coming on. You absolutely crushed it. I just have one more question. Like for a guy like me, like a 19-year-old kid, just like lifting, what ice shaker bottle do you recommend I pick up?
Hey, really? I've been using the Beast, the 36 ounce, but, most practical is definitely a 26 ounce shaker bottle. Perfect for making shakes. Really anything you're trying to mix is going to be great for it. The 36 ounce, I use it more just as a water bottle. I like to drink at least a gallon of water a day. So if you're trying to hit a lot of water, definitely grab the bigger bottle. But the 26 ounce really for making shakes, convenient on the go, throw it in your backpack, 26 bottle, ounce bottle all day long, man. And then just crush the weights, high volume. You know, you don't have to go super heavy. Just get that burn, man, and you'll get that muscle mass.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate it. If you just want to plug all of your information, like your personal Instagram, your ice shaker, your podcast and things like that.
Yep, for sure. So follow me at Chris Gronkowski on Instagram, on Twitter, Facebook as well. And then same with Ice Shaker. So it's going to be at Ice Shaker Bottle, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. The Gronked Up podcast, it's everywhere you can go. So it's going to be on iTunes, Stitcher, every single podcast network I possibly found it's on. So definitely check that out. It's only about, we're two episodes deep right now, but we will and already have recorded, you know, a ton of them, and they'll launch every single Monday. So definitely be on the lookout for that.
Dope.
And then, iShaker.com.
Sweet. That's awesome. Yeah, appreciate your time, Chris. Really appreciate you making the time to come on. You crushed it. So we'll definitely be following along with what you're doing in the future. And if we could help you in any way, just let us know. This will probably be put out next Thursday. So we'll be in touch. We'll send you links and all that kind of stuff. So
awesome. I appreciate it, man. Let me know. I'll definitely post it.
All right. Talk soon, Chris. Have a good one.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Hey guys, show some love for the Real Talk University podcast by subscribing and leaving a review on the Apple Podcast app. See you all next week.